Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I'm going to have to figure out a way to get this news posted here real fast. I know I shared it briefly on the radio yesterday, but we got to get something on our Montana Talks website. I got some photographs I can share now as well. You know, you'd think working 15 hours a day, I would have gotten my work done. But nope, I did not get my work done. So I'm going to have to keep going after the show today and into the weekend. But especially as we kick off our statewide tour next week, my goodness, that's going to be a wild week, wildly busy week as well. But I'll tell you what, it's so inspirational to get out there and get a chance to see so many of you in person. But this is the story I'm going to try to do a rush job on, even though we like 3 minute breaks, 6 minute breaks. That's mostly filled with news, so it's barely enough time to go get coffee and kind of think about what I'm going to talk about in the next segment. But that's all right. You can bail me out by calling in. And then, of course, we got George Blacker joining us for Freedom Friday coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. We briefly had the governor on yesterday. He joined us for a very quick big news update with our live show from Bozeman yesterday at the Montana Chamber of Commerce event. But he's going to be back with us today, but this time in studio here in our Montana Talk studios, which is great because, yesterday was a very quick update. But what we're going to do today is we're going to take your phone calls so you get a chance to ask the governor a question or give a quick comment and then get the reaction and hear the reaction all across Montana. But this is a story I want to rush starting at 9 o'clock this morning. So just about when Governor Gianforte joins us in studio, there is a shop that is opening up just in time for the big Red Lodge Rodeo, a new Trump merchandise store soon opening on one of Montana's most popular main streets to shop. I saw some clickbait story on our Montana Talks website last week, earlier this week, and it was like, this is the best main street or one of the best main streets in Montana to shop. And I forget who did the calculations, but they say that, yeah, Red Lodge, of course, Red Lodge is an incredible main street if you've never been there before. And so it's fun just walking up and down the street, popping into various shops. But you can now pop into a Trump shop on Main Street, Red Lodge. Let me see here. Let me go. I'll get the story on our MontanaTalks.com site at some point here this morning. But it's going to be right on Broadway, 506 North Broadway, Red Lodge. Cool. It's like this red, A-frame house shop. And man, they've got the Never Surrender Trump flag. They've got all sorts of camouflage hats. They've got all sorts of coffee cups, scarves, jackets, signs, you name it. Let's see, the Carbon County Republicans, Trump HQ and merchandise in beautiful Red Lodge, Montana. They're getting ready for opening day. Let's see. Yeah, today is opening day, if I'm reading this email right here. So there you go. Anyway, that'll be at 9 o'clock this morning. They're going to be opening up. Maybe somebody will call in from the shop just as the doors open up. That'd be kind of cool because we will have open phones for the first half of that 9 o'clock hour.
Securing America.
American officials are reacting to the mutual defense agreement signed by Russia and North Korea. Pentagon Press Secretary Major General Patrick Ryder.
It is something that we're going to take seriously, and it's something that we're going to continue to monitor.
White House National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby on North Korea providing weapons to the Russians.
It should be a concern to anybody who thinks that supporting the people of Ukraine is an important thing to do.
Connecticut Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal and South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham are sponsoring a bill designating Russia as a state sponsor of terrorism. Senator Blumenthal.
Russia deserves to be in this small, selective club of atrocity-committing killers.
Senator Graham adding,
the best thing we could do, I think, to shape the future is to label Putin
a terrorist leader because he is.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine today, we'll see some scattered afternoon storm activity popping up around the area. High temperatures will stay at around 80 degrees. For tonight, isolated shower storm chance early, followed by low temperature readings back to about the lower to middle 50s. Then the outlook for Saturday does call for mainly sunny skies with high temperature readings climbing to the mid 80s. This is Weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, this is a good question from Tim in Savage out there on the Montana-North Dakota border. I'm seeing a lot of red, white, and blue. I'm not seeing any pink yet, but it would not surprise me. I know I've seen these hoodies before. Tim in Savage says, I wonder if the Trump store that's going to be opening up in Red Lodge, Montana later this morning, I wonder if they have pink hoodies. I've seen pink Trump hoodies. I've seen pink Trump hats because, man, there's a lot of big support for Donald J. Trump amongst women voters out there. But, of course, some of you get the inside joke there from Tim and Savage. Remember the stupidest, probably the stupidest campaign commercial of the 2024 election cycle was Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer and John Tester's attack ad against Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. And, you know, remember the one where they had the guy who donated to Bullock for president? And it was Tom something in Power, Montana. And I looked up this guy's history, and the guy, you know, given all this money to all these Democrat politicians, including Bullock for president. Now, you've really drank the Kool-Aid if you donated to Bullock for president. I mean, heck, the guy couldn't even win the Senate race in Montana, let alone the White House. But anyway, remember, that was the guy who was like, oh, Tim Sheehy's not a real rancher because his ranch sells coffee cups with his ranch logo on it, and they sell trucker hats with their ranch logo on it. It's like, dude, have you been to a bull sale recently? Have you been to, well, then of course we have good tipsters here on Montana Talks. I get this Instagram page sent to me, and you know, Timmy B, was it Timmy B or Tommy? I don't know. I think it was Timmy B. Little Timmy B, here he's got his own family ranch that he likely inherited with his own family ranch name on a coffee mug. Oh, but Tim Sheehy and Greg Putnam, two Navy SEALs who served together on the SEAL teams and now run a ranch together. Oh, no. They're not real ranchers because they put their ranch name on coffee mugs. I mean, this is the type of clown show operation that Chuck Schumer and John Tester are running right now, bashing a Navy SEAL veteran. And so, oh, the other thing, the most important part, of course, for those of you that had missed that story a while back, He was criticizing, you know, the Little Belt Cattle Company for selling pink hooded sweatshirts. By the way, I got my wife a Little Belt Cattle Company pink hooded sweatshirt for her birthday, and she loves it. She says it's really comfortable. Whatever fabric they got, my goodness, a very comfortable one. But yeah, no, the ladies love the Trump hoodies. The ladies love the Little Bell Cattle Company hoodies, you name it. Yeah, Tim and Savage is tough enough to wear pink, aren't you, Tim? You're tough enough to wear a pink hoodie, a Trump hoodie or a Little Bell Cattle Company hoodie. All right. Thanks for distracting me, Tim. Now, you just filled up the entire first segment of the show this morning. Like, thank you for that. That nice distraction here this morning. Let me see. Speaking of Navy SEAL Tim Sheehy, you know that's the thing with John Tester. I've made this point before. Liberal Senator John Tester, he wants our fellow veterans to be victims. He loves it when the VA screws up. In fact, I've got tipsters who've told me that John Tester's staff is ordering the VA to screw up so that you have to go beg John Tester for help so that he can come back 3 months later and pretend to be the hero. He wants you to be victims dependent on the government. He doesn't want to fix the VA. If he fixes the VA, then you don't have to go beg him for help. And then he can't ask you to be in a campaign commercial 6 years down the road. John Tester wants veterans to be victims that are dependent on government, that are dependent on him. He despises the success. Well, really, he despises business success, period. That's why he wants to tax you. That's why he want, you know, that's why he's anti-free markets. But he really despises the business success of Tim Sheehy because he wants veterans to be victims. Listen to what Tim Sheehy had to say. He was on with Stu Varney on Fox Business.
And yes, you're absolutely right. You know, I fought for my country. So did my wife. She was a Marine. So we were both combat veterans. And we took the lessons we learned from war. We came home and started Bridger Aerospace, traded on the NASDAQ under BAER, to take the lessons we learned from war and apply them to fighting wildfires and protecting our public lands and saving lives. And we've created hundreds of jobs from scratch from starting in our barn just 9.5 years ago. So that's a success story, the American dream, serving our country in combat and coming home and creating jobs. You nailed that on the head, though. In today's Democrat Party, that's a bad thing, because if you're successful, you just said in your last segment with Newt, success is the great unifier. And they're very afraid of success, because if we unleash the American people to achieve and be prosperous, that's bad for them. And we got to save America, and that's why we're in this race.
Yeah, well said there by Tim Sheehy on with Stu Varney. You know, this is the other broader question for you here, too. Look, I've seen this, you know, the radical left has despised success. I saw that as a little kid in the 1980s, you know, growing up in the Reagan 80s. I mean, you could just see how they despised success. They wanted to tax us more. We were talking about, you know, not taxing tips for, you know, waiters and waitresses and, you know, service workers. And I remember seeing that as a kid in the 80s, that the harder you worked, the more money you made, the more they wanted to tax you. They wanted to punish success. So think about it from this perspective. John Tester despises success, and you wonder why our country is not being so successful right now, right?
Democracy 24.
Former President Donald Trump announced a promise to eliminate taxes on tipped income at a campaign event in Las Vegas, home to one of the country's most robust hospitality sectors, and in a state he narrowly lost in 2020 and 2016. The most recent estimates from Nevada show that one in four private sector workers have a job that relies on tips. Still, some in the hospitality industry are calling this an unserious campaign promise, saying it doesn't solve the issue at hand, making a livable wage. And this includes Nevada's largest union, the Culinary Union. Nonpartisan watchdog group, the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, warns the former president's plan could cost up to $250 billion over 10 years. In Chicago, Kelly Saberi, Fox Business.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, yesterday, Northern Livestock Video Auction kicked off their busy summer video sale season with their early summer special in Billings, Montana. And Joe Goggins told me the demand was excellent on calves, and prices were some of the best he's ever seen.
It was met with great demand. We probably had as much buyer interest, as much buyer participation all across the United States and Canada that we've had in quite some number of years. We sold a lot of these light calves this morning, kind of the mid four weight calves up in the mid to high threes. A lot of the five weight steers bringing in the 40s up to 50, 60. Selling a lot of these six weight steers bringing anywhere from $1,900 to over $2,000 a head. So seeing really good demand for these replacement type heifer calves. Really haven't, we didn't sell the yearlings yet. Don't have a lot of yearlings on this sale, but we'll have a pile of them in July. So it really looking forward to ending up today and had great demand. And you can just see we're short of cow numbers, and these guys feeding these cattle know it.
And he also said the genetic power of these northern cattle is nothing short of amazing.
There's some demand now. There's some people that, want some of these high-quality cattle up here in this part of the region of the world, and so proud of the people in this part of the world that have stuck to their guns and bred these cattle to not only have performance and have carcass merit, but we still kept that mama cow on the ground here. I mean, there's great demand for these replacement-type females up in this part of the world as well, and my hats are off to not only the seed stock producers, but the commercial producers alike. We're in a special region, a special part of the United States.
Now, Northern Livestock Video's next sale is their Summertime Classic, running July 22nd through the 24th, which will also feature several lots of high-quality lambs. The consignment deadline, though, is fast approaching. It's July 5th. For more information, contact your Northern Livestock Video rep or visit northernlivestockvideo.com. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this. Cattle producers, Superior Livestock Auction just wrapped up their Corn Belt Classic sale, in which the calf and yearling market was $20 to $30 higher than a year ago. Take advantage of this red-hot market and consign your cattle in Superior Livestock's Week in the Rockies sale, running July 8th through the 12th at the Cliff Lodge in Snowbird, Utah. The consignment deadline is Friday, June 21st. So contact your Superior Livestock representative today or visit superiorlivestock.com.
Of the grain crops, wheat and barley are two of the most sensitive to copper deficiencies. Badge SC from Gowan USA is effective for overcoming copper deficiencies while providing broad-spectrum disease protection. Badge SC can be applied from the end of dormancy through boot and tank mixed with many herbicides, fertilizers, or fungicides. When it comes to improving the yield and quality of your wheat and barley, Badge SC has you covered. Ask your ag retailer about Badge SC, America's number one selling liquid copper brand. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan Company.
Well, the renewable diesel boom, driven by a spat of federal and state incentives, has boosted demand for imports of animal fats and vegetable oils to be used as feedstocks that could continue growing in 2025 as tax policy shifts to encourage more domestic production of the fuel. Now, demand for renewable diesel has grown since 2015, largely as a result of increased demand in California, driven by that state's low-carbon fuel standard. Regardless, the boom is good news for farmers across our region who are raising oilseed crops like canola, camelina, and safflower. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. We've got a message that came in on our Montana Talks app. Let's see. Was there another one from Monty in Roundup? I thought I was just scanning through. It's probably buried in my stack of stuff here, but I think I just, as I was checking my email, I saw one from Monty in Roundup about another young woman, another innocent young American girl slaughtered by illegal aliens. That's right. Yeah, here we go. I shared the story. Go to facebook.com/Flint Report. Breitbart News. Texas police. Two Venezuelan men charged with the murder of a 12-year-old girl. Two men, initially from Venezuela, accused of strangling and raping 12-year-old Jocelyn Nungaray and leaving her for dead in a Houston, Texas creek. This is yet another story this week, a brand new story this week. Of course, you heard about the slaughter of the mother. I believe she's a mother of five, I think I heard on Fox and Friends earlier this morning, Rachel Morin. I mean, here we just see these stories. Time and time again, we are seeing these stories of illegal aliens. And many of them, who we later find out, also committed severe violent crimes or rapes in the countries that they came from before walking into this country illegally and then being allowed to stay in this country time and time again. And then they're the same people that come here and slaughter innocent American women, innocent American girls. I've got two stories just in front of me right now. In fact, this story out of Texas, which is, I believe, the one that Monty and Roundup was referring to here. Here you go. Here's the Fox News Radio report. I believe it's the latest information posted just earlier this morning.
Police say that 12-year-old Jocelyn Nungery was strangled to death by two migrants from Venezuela. One crossed the border illegally in April, the other in May, and that one, according to DHS sources, was released just weeks ago after he claimed that he feared for his life if sent back to his home country. Investigators used surveillance video to track the suspect's movements before and after the murder. Nungery's mother told Fox Houston, quote, hearing that the gentlemen that were in these surveillance videos, that they've been found, they've been caught and taken in for questioning, it was like the greatest news to hear this morning.
So I didn't see it in the initial Breitbart report because the full details have probably not been out yet, but that story confirmed illegal aliens. And then, of course, we've got the latest on Rachel Morin, who was this mother of five slaughtered by an illegal alien. I'll share that story with you here after the Fox News update, because they may have the report in the Fox News update. So I'll see if it's included in this Fox News update. If not, I'll share that one with you right after this. Let's see. And then we got a lot more to follow for you here. Let's see. Yeah, Speaker Mike Johnson was on with Mark Levin, Jesse Waters. We got a lot more to follow for it.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Free pass to dozens of pro-Palestinian protesters.
At least 30 of the 46 cases against those campus protesters were dismissed. Those Columbia students and staff members were arrested and charged with misdemeanor trespass on April 30th when anti-Israel demonstrators took over, barricading themselves inside for hours before police with riot helmets cleared the damaged building.
Fox's Chan Lee Painter of the Manhattan DA's office claims insufficient evidence, but tells Fox Digital they'll continue to pursue other cases, including assaults on police officers. Plenty of drama at the U.S. Supreme Court waiting for the ruling on presidential immunity, a claim brought by the former president Donald Trump. It could come down at 10 a.m. Eastern. Well, at 9:30 a.m. Eastern, a federal court judge in Florida will listen to a motion to dismiss argument from Donald Trump's legal team based on the appointment of special counsel Jack Smith. America's listening to Fox News.
All right. So, yeah, there's more details in this Fox News Radio report as well. New details emerging about the suspect charged with the murder of Maryland mother Rachel Morin.
According to ICE sources, the man accused of raping and murdering Rachel Morin in Maryland entered the United States illegally four times in a matter of weeks last year, and he succeeded on that fourth try. 23-year-old Victor Martinez Hernandez arrived back in Maryland. Authorities in Tulsa, Oklahoma extradited him there after arresting him Friday. ICE sources tell Fox Martinez Hernandez crossed the border in New Mexico illegally on January 19th of last year. Border Patrol sent him back to Mexico under Title 42. The same thing happened when he crossed illegally on January 31st in Texas and on February 6th in New Mexico again. But then on February 13th, he crossed undetected in El Paso, Texas, and entered the United States as a gotaway.
All right. And this is exactly why you're seeing more Hispanic Americans. This is why that soundbite that I shared earlier in the week, you had this CNN analyst. Actually, it was Jim Acosta, of all people. Remember, Jim Acosta was actually arguing with a Democrat campaign strategist. This Democrat campaign strategist was saying, well, no, those polls aren't right. Hispanic Americans aren't going to vote for Trump. They don't like his border policies. And Jim Acosta, of all people on CNN, the guy who was always sparring with Trump, you know, Mr. Fake, Jim Acosta was the one telling, like, practically accosting this Democrat strategist, saying, are you kidding me? You are going to tell us that these polls are accurate. The you know, Hispanic voters are fleeing Biden. Black voters are fleeing Biden. You know, Jim Acosta is trying to help save the Democrat Party because he knows that the polls are right. How bad these border policies are that Joe Biden and John Tester have had in place. And that's why Hispanic Americans are fleeing Biden and the Democrats. That's why Black Americans are fleeing Biden and the Democrats. But listen, as the topic came up, Democrat Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal, here she is. The DailyWire.com flagged this from CNN. Here she is laughing about these stories, laughing about young, innocent American women being slaughtered by illegal aliens. Let me see. I think I've got it right here. Yes, she was on MSNBC with Joy Reid. Listen to the question and then her chuckle during the answer.
This is one of the reasons that people have these sort of thinking. Here's the three cable networks reporting of this. Was our banner said, soon Biden announces legal protections for undocumented spouses of U.S. citizens. CNN's banner said, Biden announces new protections for some undocumented spouses. Here was Fox's banner, migrant arrested for raping 13-year-old in New York City.
Yes.
And so I think that's part of the problem, right?
Exactly.
Is that you have that's a lot of fear-mongering.
Exactly.
Migrant arrested for raping a 13-year-old, and she laughs at that. And to Joy Reid, well, here's our network. With our, you know, fuzzy-wuzzy headline about Joe Biden. And here's another network, like probably CNN, with their fuzzy-wuzzy headline about Joe Biden. And then Fox. Well, how dare you, Fox News, share the facts that a 13-year-old young American woman was slaughtered by an illegal. How dare you, Fox? Isn't it?
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we do have phone lines open for you. If you want to jump in on the conversation, you got something you want to talk about. And, hey, for our friends in Butte, if you're listening to KXTL, yeah, you're probably like, wait a minute, I thought Montana Talks isn't on until 9 a.m. Yeah, our big statewide hour is 9 to 10 a.m., but hey, if you haven't been in on the secret, we've had these early morning hours of the show in Billings and Bozeman for quite some time now. And then, you know, even the 8 o'clock hour, our friends in Great Falls and Kalispell are like, hey, wait a minute. We can have an extra hour of Montana Talks, instead of just running some national show. We can run national shows later in the day. Why don't we get some local, state, Montana, national news, all-in-one type of program. So, yeah, great, go for it. So, but anyway, we limit callers to once a week in the 9 o'clock hour of this show because, man, you know, that's that 1 hour where truly everybody across Montana gets a chance to be heard all across Montana. So, you know, Plentywood, Missoula, Glendive, Lewistown, Malta, you name it, right? And we are the show that really, or really truly, likes to give you the chance to be heard across Montana. There's other shows that may take phone calls, but it's not really the emphasis. It's more about guests and things like that, which is fine. But I don't know. I think it's more interesting. I think it's more entertaining. Little faster moving when you integrate the callers into it. That's why when we got Governor Greg Gianforte in studio later this morning in that 9 o'clock hour, I got a chance to talk to him a lot, so I want to give you the chance to talk to him. But anyway, in the earlier morning hours of the show, we don't have that same once a week limit. Now, that being said, if we got a bunch of callers on the line and you're somebody who calls in all the time, hey, a newer caller is going to get a chance first because we want to hear from more people. And that's the whole point, is hearing from more Montanans. But, of course, we got some great regular callers as well. The debate, got a message on our Montana Talks app here. This came from who is this? This came from Cindy. Cindy says this: I'm a bit concerned that Biden is taking a week off to prepare for the debate. Do you think it is possible that they will be trying out different drug combinations to make him cognizant? Cindy says this: I really hope they don't kill him. I didn't see which town Cindy's listening from, but it's a Nemont email address, so it could be northeastern Montana or it could be out in the Huntley Shepherd Warden area or on the Beartooth Front. Yeah, who knows? But either way, Cindy, thanks for the email. Yeah, the debate is set, and what is it, less than a week away already?
Speaking of politics, we are 1 week away from the first debate of the 2024 presidential election cycle. You see it right here on Fox. Right now, we're getting our first look at just-released Fox News polls. Registered voters participating in our survey say this year's election is mostly about issues and who can do a better job. 59% feel that way. Just 29% say it's about character and the fitness to serve. This is how the presumptive nominees stack up on the big issues. Former President Trump gets the nod on immigration, the economy, the Israel-Hamas war, and guns. President Biden is favored on standing up to elite interests, stability and normalcy, and the future of American democracy. Last night's Fox polls indicated President Biden and former President Trump are locked in this tight race within the margin of error. Head-to-head matchup essentially tied, with Biden a slight lead now, now only 1 week away from both men facing each other on a debate stage in Atlanta. Senior White House correspondent Peter Ducey has our story live from the North Lawn.
All right, and we'll get to Peter Ducey with more of the details, because like there's kind of funny little details in terms of who gets to go first. What are they going to be standing up? Or, you know, we had heard that Joe Biden wanted to be sitting down for the whole debate, because, you know, Donald Trump, he can stand for hour plus long rallies and press conferences. He'll go toe to toe with anybody. Whereas, you know, I think the Biden camp was hoping that Joe Biden could take a seat for the entire debate in probably more ways than one. We'll get to the Ducey report here in just a second. But Nancy in Roundup, what's going on this morning? Well, let me cue her up. There we go. Nancy in Roundup, good to hear from you. What's going on?
Well, good morning, Montana Talks, Sam. I want to just take a moment here to talk about Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry's new bill and law on the Ten Commandments being posted in every public school classroom. And I know that we all know that in 1979, Democrat President Jimmy Carter destroyed our public education system by federalizing it. And, of course, that left the door wide open for atheists in 1980 to challenge prayer and also the Ten Commandments in the Supreme Court. So what the Supreme Court did at that time, it ruled that a similar Kentucky law violated the Establishment Clause of the U.S. Constitution, which says Congress can make no law respecting an established religion. But I wish Texas and Oklahoma are considering similar bills, and I, to tell you the truth, I'm in favor of it. I would like to see even our governor make a similar bill here in Montana to post the Ten Commandments, because it's more of a moral code. It's not really a religion. I think we need to go back to basics in our school, and this is one way to do it, and it would also help fight woke in our public
It just makes common sense, doesn't it? I mean, it's a it's I mean, yes, is it tied to the Bible? Is it in the Bible? Yes, of course. But like you referred to, Nancy, thanks for the call. Yeah, very interesting topic. Definitely a good Freedom Friday topic as well when George joins us. But this is a historical document. This is I mean, even think of something like bankruptcy law. Why do we have the bankruptcy laws on the books that we have? Why is there compassion built into our bankruptcy laws? Right. I mean, I've never had to go to bankruptcy court, but I know people have had to do it. And there's compassion built into the bankruptcy court system. Well, where did they get that from? Why does it apply Old Testament biblical concepts into U.S. bankruptcy code law? It's almost as if the Ten Commandments and then other, other principles from the Bible formed the basis of our legal code in the United States of America. Well, if you were going to study history or law, maybe you need to know where the law actually came from. Right. In fact, if you were to go to the lawmaking body of the United States House of Representatives and you look around the if you're on the floor and you look around, you can't see it from the gallery. Well, you can see some of it from the gallery, I guess. Why do you see an imagery of Moses on the floor of because, again, if you want to talk about the law and where the law came from and you want to make law and you want to pass laws and you want to create laws, maybe you need to know where the law came from in the first place, right? Oh, great, great topic. It's common sense that why wouldn't we allow the Ten Commandments to be displayed, right? Okay, real quick, let's go to Peter Ducey talking about more details with this presidential debate in less than a week.
Brett, good evening. We are now within 2 hours of the time that President Biden is expected to leave his Delaware beach house and head to the presidential retreat at Camp David, Maryland, for debate prep. So far, White House officials not telling us how long he's going to be there.
President, as he should, is preparing for this just like he prepares every day to fight for the people of America.
Just 45% of Americans approve of the job he's doing in a new Fox News poll. That's unchanged from last month. And the approval number plummets to 35% on the key issue of immigration, although that's an improvement of 5 points since March. It's the economy, seen as the top issue for 62% of independents, topping the future of democracy, seen as extremely important to 61% of independents.
When you look at both battleground polls and issues that drive voters, the economy, the border, national security, Trump is dominating in all of those. I still think this is his race.
RFK Jr. will not debate Trump and Biden next week, qualifying in only 3 of 4 polls required and only a fraction of state ballots. However, the Kennedy campaign points out CNN is holding Kennedy to this requirement, but is not requiring Presidents Biden and Trump to meet this requirement by claiming they are each the presumptive nominee of a political party. So it'll be one-on-one, and Biden's inner circle is split about which Donald Trump Biden needs to prepare for.
I'm so happy that the mics will be shut off when you're not speaking, and you won't have audience members and MAGA members in the audience screaming and yelling.
Yeah, they don't want an audience. They don't want Donald Trump to fact-check Joe Biden live, and they certainly don't want to fluster old Grandpa Joe either, do they? Hey, we were talking about Montana beef earlier this morning. Let me tell you about some really good-tasting Montana beef. I've had some of these Wagyu beef burgers at the Mint in Martinsdale. Man, that was a tasty burger. But I've also had some of these Avalanche Ranch ribeye steaks. They're Wagyu steaks. The marbling on these steaks is insanely good. Just packs that ribeye full of flavor. You can get your hands on some Wagyu beef burgers, ribeyes, New Yorks, briskets, you name it, from our friends at the Avalanche Ranch in Townsend, Montana. USDA certified whole beef, half beef, quarter beef. From the Avalanche Ranch in Townsend, Montana, here's what you do. You place your order online at avalanchewagyu.com. Place your order online, avalanchewagyu.com. And then they will deliver. They'll deliver to Townsend, Helena, Hardin, and Martinsdale. Avalanchewagyu.com.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
My advice to Joe Biden would be to take a lot of Red Bull, whatever, let's put it this way. Whatever Joe was drinking, eating, taking before the State of the Union, I would expect he's going to be drinking, eating, and taking before this debate. He's going to have to if he wants to survive. And that's where he actually is. It is really sick to watch and read some of the madness that is going on with the radical left today, but it's happening. You know, National Review had a report out today. The Democratic Party's anti-Trump, quote, resistance movement is already making plans to block any attempt by law enforcement to quell anti-Trump riots if Donald Trump wins the election. You got to be kidding.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-9862. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-9862. That's 800-575-9862. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The national economy has been through one of the most violent, rapid, down-up cycles in economic growth in our modern history. That cycle is largely over. Growth will be more moderate and more stable going forward. But what would that tumultuous experience leave behind? Higher interest rates, for one thing. Higher rates, that is. Actually, today's rates are not high by historical standards, but certainly higher than the extremely low rates that prevailed before COVID. And we have higher inflation. It's come down to just above 3%, which is a lot better than 6%+ of a year ago. Maybe the Federal Reserve will get it lower. Some changes have not stuck. The surge in e-commerce, for instance, that peaked at 60% of all retail sales in the teeth of the pandemic, has settled back down to its pre-COVID trend. But working from home is here to stay, apparently. After peaking at 60% at one point, the stunning truth is that 28% of all days worked in the national economy are remote. I'm Patrick Buckley.
brought to you by
Columbia Street West. Rimrock Cabinets, your best place for home remodeling needs.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, wait till the 7 o'clock hour. Wait till you guys hear this story that our friend George Blackard's going to share with us. It's like another woke update. You know, we didn't get all our woke updates in on Thursday with David Noble. This woke update, it's another, you better not use these words. These words are now offensive. It's like, what? Anyway, he'll have that one coming up for us in the 7 o'clock hour. Unless we start getting distracted by about 85 other stories. And then Tim and Savage will message us at about 7:50. Hey, were you guys going to talk about that story? Oh, yeah, that's right. Anyway, let's get right to it here. We've got the weekly legislative update from Jeff Lasloffy with the Montana Family Foundation that we try to run here at this very same time every Friday morning. Here you go, Jeff Lasloffy.
2 months ago, pro-abortion forces began gathering the 60,000 signatures necessary to put CI 128 on the ballot. If passed, the amendment would add abortion as a protected right to the Montana Constitution. Their window to gather signatures expires today, and the big question is, were they successful? It could be well into July before we know for sure, but there are several things we do know. This was one of the most expensive signature gathering efforts ever undertaken in Montana, and Montanans played a very small role. Millions of dollars flowed in from other states. J.B. Pritzker, the billionaire governor of Illinois, sent $1 million all by himself. And it wasn't only the money that flowed from out of state. Hundreds of signature gatherers were bussed in and paid $30 per hour to pound the pavement. At this point, it appears the proponents may have spent as much as $20 for each signature gathered. Our side, on the other hand, conducted the largest signature integrity project ever undertaken in Montana, and we did it with 600 volunteers, all of whom were Montana citizens. Our volunteers, armed with video cameras, followed the signature gatherers and recorded mountains of election law violations. These recordings will now be used to get thousands of illegally gathered signatures thrown out. As of today, the out-of-state signature gatherers are headed home, but for us, the work is just beginning. At this point, one of three things will happen. One, the proponents will quickly announce they failed to get the necessary signatures and the effort will be over. Two, their petitions will be reviewed and will go through a three-step verification process, first by the county election office in which the signatures were gathered, then by the Secretary of State, and finally by our signature verification teams. If enough invalid signatures are found, the effort will die. If enough signatures are valid, then we go to court and present the evidence of those that were gathered illegally in an effort to get even more signatures thrown out. This is a numbers game, and it's our job to make sure that only valid signatures of registered Montana voters that were gathered legally are counted. Montana's Constitution should not be amended using out-of-state signature gatherers bought and paid for by out-of-state money. The key takeaway at this point is not to despair. Planned Parenthood will no doubt claim an early victory based on the number of petitions that they turn in, but that's before any of the verification steps have been performed. Very few petitions were turned in early, but we've heard from our sources that in some cases more than 40% of the signatures were rejected, and in one particularly egregious case, 80% of the signatures on one petition sheet were declared invalid. That's what happens when you use hired guns from out of state. Contrast that with our successful 2004 effort to put the Montana Marriage Amendment on the ballot. In that case, all of our volunteers were Montana residents, and over 97% of our signatures were declared valid. This has been a long 4 months for us. The first two were spent in court trying to expose the fact that this amendment goes far beyond what voters are being told. And then, an additional 2 months, tailing signature gatherers to capture election violations on film for the next round of court proceedings. We're doing everything in our power to keep this off the ballot, and we'd like to commend the hundreds of pro-life volunteers that sacrificed their time and energy to protect the preborn. Please join us as we continue to pray for victory over those who would turn Montana into another New York or California. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Lasloffy reminding you that this government is your government and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, Freedom Friday coming up with George Blackard right after this.
Darnell Insurance.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Reduced at U.S. taxpayer expense.